Give it up for the video. Wow, what a video. I don't know if you guys recognize any of those people in the video, but hopefully you saw yourself. But you say, are we in the Spanish service? The Spanish-speaking service? Well, all I know is yo quiero Taco Bell. So go to Taco Bell and eat your food, okay? So anyways, we are not in the Spanish service, but I love Spanish music. How many guys love Spanish music? How many guys have no idea what they're saying, but you love it anyways? That can get you in trouble sometimes, but ignorance is bliss. You know what I'm saying? But I do love Spanish music. I get it from my father. My father, he used to turn on the Spanish station just like I do nowadays. And you know you're getting old when you start acting like your father. Amen. Anyways, he used to turn the Spanish channel on, and we didn't have a clue what they were saying either, but we would just, you know, jam out to Spanish music. And so I guess I inherited my love for Spanish music from him. And here's the thing. You say, well, you know, what's that song about? Well, here's the chorus of that song. I want you to hear what it's saying, and that's what I'm going to touch on today in my message. And here goes, here's the chorus. And if today is the last day of my life, I will give it everything. We are what? One, as we walk in this world, there is nothing that we can't do together. The title of that song is a word called, or a word, juntos. The word, juntos. And you say, well, what does that word mean? Well, it actually means together. Together. And so today I want to start a series that I am calling Juntos. And we are going to learn what it means to ride together to fulfill God's message and God's mission. Okay? And so I don't know if you've been a part of our church very long, but I want to share some of the highlights that have happened in our church. Since day one, one of the coolest things about our church is we've been able to reach those that are far from God. Amen? Isn't that a cool thing? I mean, we are a church for the unchurched culture. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you are welcome in our church. And I love that about our church. Since day one, that has been our mantra and our, you know, what we've tried to do. It's been our purpose. Here's some other highlights. We have seen lives turned around, lives that were destined for destruction and now are destined for heaven. Amen? Absolutely. Another cool thing about our church is we've seen so many marriages saved through the teaching and the preaching and you know, just the atmosphere of our church. Many people, their lives are going down the tubes quick. Their marriage is going down the tubes quick. They come to our church, they see your example and your marriages, and they hear the teaching of the Word of God, and their marriages have been changed through our awesome church. And this is what God has done. Yeah, let's give it up for that as well. Here's the other cool thing I love about our church, and this is what God has done in our church. He has brought men, especially men. One of the emphases that we have in our church is we want to reach men. And you say, well, why do you emphasize that? Well, here's what we've learned. If we can reach the man of the house, then typically we can reach the whole family. And in my dealing with, you know, other men, and I get to ride with a lot of great cowboys and men that are tough and, you know, think they're tough or whatever. Here's the thing. I've heard them say this. I'll never go to church. I mean, church is for the weak, you know. And this is probably before they know I'm a preacher and they just start talking about certain things. And then they realize I'm a preacher and then they, oh, I'm sorry, you know, oh, you're the preacher. But anyway, so... But I hear that. I hear, you know, church is for weak people. I don't need that religious stuff to, you know, to get, you know, get it all right. Well, here's the cool thing about our church. We have reached those men. The funniest thing and the coolest thing that I get to hear all the time is my husband used to hate church. Now he drags me to church. It's so good. It's so good to hear that stuff. And so God has used our church together and used us together to reach people, not just men, but women, boys, teenagers, girls, boys, whoever, you know, that would say, I'll never go to church. But then they come and they experience the love of this church and the love of God, and they turn their life around. That's a pretty awesome thing. Here's the other cool thing I love about our church and what God has done in our church. We have guests every week. Yeah. you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, I grew up in church, right? I've been to a lot of churches, and many times in church, it was the same people every week, did the same thing, sat in the same seat, right? And you know, worshiped through the same songs. They would only sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse. I don't know why the third was so devilish and they didn't want to sing it. I mean, what's up with that? Why is the third verse not good enough? You know what I'm saying? But that's what I kind of grew up in. And not in every church. I mean, every church that I've been a part of, God has used for His glory. But here's the thing. We have guests that come to our church every week. I don't know if you realize it or not, but that is a gift from God. And we aren't going to take it lightly. Because I've been, again, in a part of churches and in churches where they would, you know, they'd sell their kidney to get a guest. You know what I'm saying? And so we are blessed. I mean, that's something that God has done in our church. Here's the other cool thing about our church and what God has done in our church through you guys. He has provided resources so that we can build, you know, some facilities that we can worship in. Not only does He bless us each week by allowing us to, you know, to worship in this barn. And by the way, we have never paid a dime of rent for this facility in the last 6 years. Never. And I want you to thank Jerry Nine. If you ever see him, thank him when you see him, because he lets us, you know, use this barn every week. But here's the cool thing. God has blessed us with resources that He has allowed us to purchase 30 acres and build two barns that are in the dry. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You say, well, you know, why is that so amazing? Well, it's taken millions and millions of dollars to do that, and God has provided every dime. That's pretty awesome. And so here's the point. Because of all He has done through us and through His church, the greatest thing that we've, you know, seen happen is we've seen hundreds of people come to know Jesus and give their lives to Him. So that's the greatest part. But here's what I want you to hear, okay? Those are the highlights so far. And some of those pictures, you know, they were on the slideshow of some of those events, our Easter service, all that cool stuff. But here's what I want you to realize. While those things are amazing, and we are so proud of those things, here's what I want you to realize. And I say this all the time. God is not through with us yet. He still has work for us to do. Here's what I've learned. I don't want to just talk about the miracles that He did yesterday. I want to talk about the miracles that He's doing today. Are you with me? Because I don't want to live in the past. I want to live in the now, and I want to live for the future of what God is going to do in our church. And so here's what I want you to hear today. God wants to do something in your life, and He wants to do something in the church, and we have to do it juntos. Together. We have to do it together. And so this series is going to hopefully give you a fresh look about who we are as a church and what we're called to do. And so here's the one point that I want to make today, and I'm going to break it down, but here's the one point that I want to make. You ready? Together we have a mission. Together we have a mission. One of the great things about our church as well is that we've tried to look for better ways to reach more people. We've always been willing to change what we've done to reach more people. And I can commit to you that we are going to change and change and change. And you say, that scares the crap out of me. Anybody? Anybody not like change? Well, you may not like our church very much because we're going to change to reach more people. But here's something that I'll promise you. We will never change the message of God's word. Amen? We will never change the message of God's word, but we will always and continue to change the method of reaching people. I heard a pastor put it this way. We are married to the message and we date the method. Amen? We are, turn me up a little bit. I don't think people can hear me. We are married to the message of Jesus Christ. We will never change it because that's what changes lives. But we will always change the method to reach the generation that is coming, the generation that's here, and every generation after. Amen? That's what we're going to do. And so that said, here's the thing. I'm excited to tell you that we're changing some things. I got you fired up. I set you up good, didn't I? You're like, woo-hoo-hoo. Now it's going to be silent. But here's the thing. I'm excited because we are changing some things. You say, well, what are you changing? Well, we've been looking, as leaders, we've been looking at our leadership structure. We're changing some of that. We've been looking at our systems, how we do things, how things work in our church, because we want to make them better, right? If you own a business, listen, if you own a business and you have poor systems, poor organization, guess what? Your business is going to flounder, right? And so you got to have certain systems, and so we're changing some of those systems to again, be able to reach more people. But here's what I want to focus in today. I believe that God is asking us to broaden our mission and yet simplify it as well. Here's something that I'm learning. You're going to get a lesson in leadership today, okay? Here's something I'm learning. There is a difference between the word mission and purpose, all right? Mission is what we do. Purpose is why we do it. I'll give you a few examples. You ready? In the Navy SEALs, they have missions, right? They go, they have teams, they go out, and they perform missions. And you say, well, what is their mission? Well, in a lot of cases, they'll go out, they'll drop into a third world country or enemy territory, and they will fulfill a mission. You say, what do they do? Well, they kill somebody. They kill the enemy and they get out. Or they may rescue, you know, a prisoner of war and then they get out. That's their mission. That's what they do. I'll give you another example. An accountant. How many of you guys have an accountant? Come on. Did I just say a curse word or what? I mean, everybody has to have an accountant to do your, you know, taxes or whatever if you have a business or whatever. But an accountant's mission, listen, is to gather your information and organize it. Right? That's what they do. I'll give you another example. If you've ever trained a horse, you or sent a horse to a horse trainer, their mission is to use horsemanship techniques to train your horse. That's what they do, right? And so mission is what we do. Now, you say, well, what is the purpose? Well, the purpose, again, is why we do it. Why do the Navy SEALs go and kill the bad people? Why? Because they want to protect the United States of America. Amen? Can we give it up for our soldiers? So you say, why do they go over and put themselves in harm's way? Because they want to protect us. That's what they do, and it's why they do it. You say, well, why does my accountant organize my finances? Why? Because he wants you to balance, right? He doesn't want you to pay more taxes than you should. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. God bless the IRS. Not really, but anyways. Well, maybe so. I don't know. They're people too. But so an accountant, you say, well, why do they organize and why do they do all that? You know, they do it because they want you to balance. So, yeah, you know, why does a horse trainer use training techniques to train your horse? Well, why? Because he wants to deliver a broke horse that you can do a job with, right? So mission is what we do and purpose is why we do it. And you say, what does that have to do with our church? Well, here's what I believe. I believe God has given us a mission and a purpose. And it's my desire, and I know it's yours, that we fulfill his mission and his purpose. Here's why. We only get one life. And the sad part it is, many of us have wasted a bunch of our life. And I'm tired of wasting my life. I'm not going to waste my life. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to waste the time of this church. And I'm not going to just sit around on my butt and not do anything. I want to fulfill God's mission for my life and for the life of this church. And listen, God is calling you to be a part of the mission and the purpose of this church. And so here's the thing. Since the beginning of our church, we've had a purpose statement. Anybody know it? One person? Anybody? I'll just say it for you, okay? Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Some of you guys are going, what? I didn't catch that. There's only a few of you that could probably, you know, say that by memory. And so here's what God has asked me to do. And through a bunch of prayer and through talking to our leadership, we desire today to present to you a new mission statement. And you say, well, why are you changing it? Well, obviously, I love our purpose statement. God gave it to me at the beginning of our church and all that stuff. But here's what again, God says, hey, I want you to make this better. And here's how I want you to make it better. And so he's given us a new mission statement for our church that hopefully you can remember and hopefully you can live by. Ready? Is anybody ready for the new one? Well, here it is, and it's easy and it's simple. Ready? We lead people to ride for Christ. We lead people to ride for Christ. And some of you guys are going, well, that's cute. I mean, that's a cute statement. Why don't we embroider it and put it on the wall? Well, it's more than just cute. Here's the thing. God has called us to a mission. And I believe that this is the mission that he's called Thousand Hills Ranch Church to fulfill. And so every word in this purpose or in this mission statement has meaning. And so I want to break it down real quick. What's the first word? We. Juntos. Together. We. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. It says, for who? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to what? Do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, here's what I want you to understand. So many people, they give me credit for all the stuff that's gone on in our church. And it's encouraging, and I love it. And so, you know, please be encouraging. But here's what I want you to realize. I haven't done it all. I know that surprises you, but I haven't done it all. Every Sunday, there are groups of people called teams that pull this church together, that put the signs out, that hang the buckets, that put the orange cards on the, you know, on the chairs, that, you know, that get the band together and they, you know, set up the sound and they do all those things so that we, again, can fulfill our mission. And so what I want you to realize is I'm not the one. I mean, again, God's called me to lead the church, but other than that, everybody else does the work. They are fulfilling their mission in the middle of our church. And God is getting the glory. Every Sunday, we see people come together and we see them, you know, work for the Lord. Every event that we put on, whether we played in the dirt, whether we've danced, whether we've had, you know, food, whatever it is, we together have pulled those events together and pulled them off. The worship band, I mean, they come together every week and they practice and they come and they pour their heart out and they give you, you know, an opportunity to feel the presence of the Lord and to be able to worship him. Can we give them a hand? And so what I want you to realize is this all happens because we work together. And it's because of, you know, the God of the universe using us. I mean, even the preaching. I mean, I obviously prepare the notes and all that stuff, but our awesome ranch creative ministry, that they pull all the slides together. Everything you see up there, I don't do any of that. I mean, it's all the people in our church, and they do an amazing job. Can we give it up for our ranch creative? And you say, well, why do we work together? Why is we so important? Here's what I know. We can accomplish a whole heck of a lot more together than we can alone. Right? And so I believe it's God's will for us to work together. I believe it's not God's will for us to try to have, you know, one person who's in charge, but be able to spread out the leadership. I believe that God has a plan for our church, and we have to work together to fulfill it. And so we is the first word. What's the second word? We what? We lead. Now here's the thing. Here's what I've learned about people, or anybody really. People don't like to be forced to do anything. You ever tried to force anything to do anything? Anyone to do anything? I mean, even animals don't like to be forced. How many of you ever owned a pig? Yeah, I mean, you can think you're going to... I always get myself in trouble with the animals. But you think, well, I'm going to make this pig walk. No. The more you hit it, the faster it goes. Did I say something wrong? Is there any PETA people in here? But I'm just saying, the more, you know, you try to make something do something, the more they probably rebel. Anybody with me? Anybody have that personality? Yeah. So here's what we've learned. We are going to lead people. We're just going to lead them. And you say, well, how do you lead them? Well, we lead them by example. You say, what do you show them? We show them love. Again, this is what drives people. Not guilt, not shame, not throwing the Bible in their face and making them live by a bunch of rules and being legalistic. No, that doesn't motivate them. And what motivates is when we lead them with love, when we show them the grace of God. I mean, people are like, just preach the truth, Bo. Just preach the truth. Just preach the truth. Well, I think a lot of those people that say that to me all the time, listen, they missed out on the whole grace deal. I'm only up here by the grace of God. You're only saved by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that we have a church. It's only by the grace of God that you're alive. And here's something else I remember. I remember Jesus saying, I came full of grace and truth. And so we're going to do both. But we're always going to encompass the truth in grace because we all have to have it. We all have to have it. And so you say, well, how are we going to lead them? We're going to lead them through grace and truth. We're going to live our lives by the word of God so that they can be changed. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. What's the first word? Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may what? See your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. Again, the verse says we're going to live such good lives amongst the world. Amongst the pagans is what it says. But by the way, we've all been pagans, right? I mean, I'm a saved pagan, right? You're a saved pagan. I mean, we're all pagans, but we're going to live such good lives that the world can see our good deeds. Some people, you know, again, I think they want to hide all of God. They want to, it's private. I'm not going to share my faith. I'm not going to, you know, live out my faith. Listen, the Bible says that we're to live such good lives that they can see it. Again, are we bragging? No, we're humble, but we humbly serve God for the world to see so that their lives can be changed. And so we lead with love. We lead with grace. Who are we leading? What's the next word? We lead people. We're not leading pigs. We're not leading goats. We're leading people. Look at Mark chapter 1 and listen to how Jesus called his disciples. Listen to what he called them to do. He says in verse 17 of Mark chapter 1, it says, Jesus called out to them, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for who? For people. That's our calling. That was Jesus' calling while he was on the face of the earth. And we are called to fulfill his mission through our church. Amen? And you say, well, okay, but well, who are the people that we're called to reach? Well, I want to give you who I believe God has called us to reach. And really, it's everybody, right? There is nobody too far gone. There's nobody too far good. Everybody's fallen short. But here's what I want to give you an example. I have three stools here, and I believe that all three stools should be represented in our church. You ready? Who's the first stool? The first stool is unchurched people. Unchurched people. And you say, well, what do you mean by unchurched? Well, these are the people that are far from God. These are the people that are addicted to something. These are the people that are living for themselves. These are the people that don't have any hope. These are the people that are lost, that are dying, that are destined for hell if we don't tell them. These are the people. So you say, well, who's the first chair? And again, this is who we've been about, and this is who we're going to continue to be about. We are going to reach unchurched people. Because that's who God has called us to reach. So that's the first chair. Who you say, well, who's the second chair? Well, these are the new believers. The new believers. Listen, if we bring people to church and they don't experience Jesus Christ and don't experience life change, then again, what are we doing? I mean, if all they do is come and experience church, well, that's great. I mean, we're going to worship God. We're going to do our thing. But if their lives aren't being changed and we're not seeing, you know, lives changed for the glory of God, then again, something's missing. I mean, I'm not going to do church just to do church. I'm going to do church so that we can have these people become followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we have the unchurched, we have the new believers, and then we have the sold out followers that are fully devoted to Jesus Christ, that walk consistently with him. Right? Three different people. Listen. And so here's what I've learned. We got to have unchurched people, we got to have new believers, and we got to have those that are fully devoted and following Christ, the solid Christian. Now, here's the thing. Listen, if one of these chairs is missing, then we're not doing our job. I mean, if all we got is, you know, unchurched people and no one's getting saved, then we need to change something. If we've got new believers and they're not growing in their faith and becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus, then we're missing something. And so here's the scary thing. If I look out into the audience any Sunday and we don't have all three of these people represented in our church, then we're not fulfilling our mission. And we have to change some things. And so you say, who are the people? These are the people. These are the people that our church is going to be about and that God has called us to be about. So that's the part of the mission that we have to understand, right? And we have to be ready to greet the people that are far from God. Not judge them. Not worry about where they've been. Not, you know, where were they last night? Are they hungover? I smell something. I smell a little beer. What's the deal? No, listen, we want all kinds of people. We want people that are struggling. We want people that are, you know, again, here's what I love about the new believer. The new believer is usually more on fire than the old believer. Anybody with me? Here's my goal in church. You ready? My goal in church is to show people that have walked in their faith, you know, for a long time, how to stay on fire for the Lord. Because here's what I've learned, and I've been in church all my life. The more that you do church, the more that you walk with Christ, sometimes the more numb you get to what Christ has done for you. And so you just go through the motions. Oh, I'm just going to worship this song. You know, I'm not going to worship this song. I'm going to worship God through this song. Oh, I'm going to hear the preacher. Oh, we're going to pray. Oh, we're going to give our tithe. Oh, we're going to do that. And we go through the motions, and it's just not passionate. And so I love having these new believers in our church. You know why? Because they're on fire, because they're so close to their sin that God has just forgiven them, you know, for. Are you with me? And so I love having those new believers, but I also love being able to grow this new believer into, again, a disciple. I want to go from a decision to follow Christ to a disciple of Christ. We want them to grow. We want them to learn how to feed themselves. Amen? And so you say, who are the people? We lead people. These three types of people to do what? What's the next word? To what? To ride. Now, if you've not been a part of our church very long, we are a cowboy church. That is our style, right? That's what God has called us to be, as a tool to reach the world. And so you say, well, what does the ride mean? Well, as a cowboy myself, and I know many of you guys ride horses and you have, you know, cattle and all that stuff. Here's what I've learned. I would rather ride my horse than walk. Anybody with me? You're like, I feed those stinking things and that feed bill is not cheap. So I'm going to ride this stinking thing. And so here's what we've done, because many of you can relate to that riding, you know, maybe you rodeo, maybe you know, a trail rider, maybe, you know, again, you just wished you could ride. Maybe you're scared spitless. I said spitless. Maybe you're scared spitless of a horse and you wouldn't ride one, you know, for $1 million, but you like horses. Now, here's the thing. We love that style. Therefore, we have always referred to our life with Christ as a ride. Now, here's what I've learned about riding horses. It's something that you do. Are you with me? You have to actually mount up. You actually have to, you know, saddle the horse. You have to mount up and you actually have to head out. If you're going to ride a horse, you got to ride it, right? It's an action. And so here's the thing. I believe the same should be true in the life of every Christian that is not only in our church, but that is a part of the church, the big capital C church. We should be active in our faith. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 22. Look at it. It says, but don't just listen to the word, you know, to God's word, but you must what? You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. You're only fooling yourselves. And so here's what God says for us to do. We are going to lead people to ride. In other words, be active in their faith, live out their faith, live by the word of God for who? For Christ. You say, what is that? Who is that? Well, he's the Savior of the world. He's the one that we ride for. He is the reason that we are doing what we do. It's all about him. It's all for him. It's all for his glory. And we are to love God with everything that we have. And to love Christ with all of our heart. Look at Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Listen, yeah, give it up. We as followers of Jesus Christ are called to live out our faith for his glory. And you say, well, what does it mean to ride for Christ? Well, we're going to worship God. I don't know if you come in here and worship God or if you just, you know, listen to the songs or, you know, you just, you know, go through the motions. But here's the thing. If you're going to ride for Christ and you're going to set the example that you want people to see so that they'll want to ride for Christ, then you got to worship the Lord. You say, well, I can't sing. It doesn't matter. It's not about singing. It's about worshiping him. It's about focusing in on him. Maybe closing your eyes and maybe just, you know, humming the words. Again, God loves, you know, he loves a great voice, but he loves the crow's voice as well. He loves the mockingbird. He loves the crow. He created them both, so maybe you sound more like a crow choking on a bone. But listen, that's not what it's about. We are called to worship God. You say, how do I ride for Christ? How do I lead other people to ride for Christ? You worship God. Give it all you got. Let it go. Who gives a flip who's watching? Let it go, because you're going to show people that you serve a risen Savior, not a dead God. Amen? We say at Thousand Hills, we're going to get a little Western for Him. We're going to have a little fun for Him. We're going to worship Him. You say, well, how else do we ride for Christ and lead others to ride for Christ? We're going to make God-honoring decisions. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm going to try my best to not make a decision that just, you know, honors me, that just takes care of me. No, when I make a decision, and when we make decisions, we're going to say, God, what honors you? And you say, well, how do I ride for Christ? How do I lead others? You make God-honoring decisions. That's what it looks like. You have a business, you make God-honoring decisions. You have a ranch, you make God-honoring decisions. You have kids, you train your kids to love the Lord with all their heart, their mind, their soul, their strength. That's what it looks like to ride for Christ. And so we're going to lead people to ride for Christ. And you say, well, why? Why do we want to do that? Here's why. Because He's worthy. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Because you have eternal life. Because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we are going to lead people to ride for Christ. And listen, this isn't just a cutesy phrase again. It's what we do. It's who we are. And you say, well, why? Well, I would go back to our purpose. And you say, what's our purpose? I mean, if we're changing the statement, what's our purpose? Well, here's what I would refer you to, our Thousand Hills Code. Some of you guys have heard of that. Some of you guys haven't. Well, it's the values that we ride by for fulfilling our mission. You say, well, give me a few examples of why we do this. Well, we ride for His brand. That's number one. You say, why do we want to lead people to ride for Christ? Because it's all about Jesus. We ride for the unchurched. Why? Because we want to reach those that are far from God. We ride by His word. Why? Because God's word is the key to our success. Amen? And so you say, well, why? Why do we lead people to ride for Christ? Well, we want to tend to our own herd. We're going to protect people. We're going to feed people. We're going to equip people. We're going to ride our best horse. Here's what I've learned, and here's what you know. We only get one shot at this. So we're going to ride our best horse. In other words, we're going to be excellent at what God has called us to do for His glory. That's why we do it. We're going to ride to be generous. God has blessed you with money. He's blessed you with talents. He's blessed you with gifts so that you can be generous back to Him. Do you realize that God is a generous God? Everything that you've been given is from Him. And so you say, why do we lead people to, ride for Christ? Because we ride to be generous. We ride, most importantly, for life change. The reason we sweat, listen, the reason we sweat, the reason we bleed, the reason we work, the reason that we give is so that we can see lives change for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so that is our purpose. That is why we do what we do. And so our values we ride by for fulfilling our mission. They will help motivate us and they will keep us focused on our mission. So here's what I want to close with. Fulfilling our mission, fulfilling our purpose is only possible when we do it juntos, when we do it together. Yeah. Amen. And so it's my desire, and I know it's your desire, and I know it's the desire of God's heart for us to work together to fulfill the mission that He has called us to fill for His glory. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's what we're going to do. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how does God want us to fulfill His mission for our church? Because here's the thing. Together, we can fulfill that mission. But we have to know where we're headed. We have to know how to do it. And we have to ask God to allow us to be a part of it. And so maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know what, Bo? I want to be a part of this mission. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to just be a part of it. I want to share it. I don't want to just support it. I want to share the mission that God has called Thousand Hills Ranch Church to fulfill. And so here's the question. Here's what I want you to ask yourself. God, what part of this mission do you want me to fulfill? Ask him. What part of this mission do you want me to fulfill? Listen, what did he just say? Did he say anything to you when you asked that question? That's awesome. Again, we only get one life. We only get one ride. And it's my desire, and I know it's God's desire for you to fulfill your purpose and your mission. And I believe that for the majority of you, if not all of you, God wants you to use you through this church to fulfill this mission. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. And I want you to ask God, God, is Thousand Hills where you want me? And again, maybe ask him, God, what part of the mission do you want me to fulfill? You want me to work with ranch kids? You want me to work with the band? You want me to work with the ranch creative? You want me to become a part of the Hattie team? You want me to cook? You want me to clean? You want me to set up? You want me to tear down? You want me to start a new ministry? Again, what part of the mission is he calling you to fulfill? My prayer is that you would be obedient. And that whatever he's telling you to do, that you would say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you ask me to do, whatever you've told me to do, I'm going to fulfill your mission for my life. And so that's my prayer for you today. That you would make a commitment to the Lord to say, Lord, I want to be a part of your mission. I want to be a part of the mission of this church. And so I'm dedicating my life. I'm giving my life to you, and I'm giving my life to the mission of Thousand Hills so that I can make a difference before you take me, before you come back, before I die. I want to make a difference. So I hope that you'll make that commitment today. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I want to fulfill his mission for my life, but I just don't feel like he can use me. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel like I'm worthy enough. Here's the thing. So many people think, well, I just got to clean my life up and then I can come to church. I got to get rid of a few things and then I can come to church. Then I can be used by God. No, here's what I want you to hear. Come to God dirty and he will clean you up. You can't clean yourself up. You can't get clean enough. But he can clean you up. And he wants to use you. Even though you think he doesn't, he wants to use you. And so maybe you need to confess your sin to him today. Maybe for the first time you need to ask him into your life. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that you can begin to live out the mission and the purpose that he has for your life. Listen, that's why Jesus came, so that you could have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. And so you will never be able to fulfill your mission until you come to Jesus and you allow him to clean you up. And so maybe you need to make that commitment to him today. Maybe you just pray this simple prayer with me in your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that I've done things wrong. I've done things my way. And today, I want to be a part of your mission. I want to be a part of your purpose. I want to be a person that honors you and that lives for you. So I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and save me. Listen, I hope that many of you prayed that prayer with me. And listen, it's not about the words. It's about your heart. And so if you made that decision to follow him today, listen, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Now it's time to mount up and it's time to ride. You say, well, how do I do that? What do I do? Well, that's why the church exists, to help you learn how to ride for Christ. And so we desire to lead you closer to Christ. We desire to lead you in your new relationship with Christ. And so Olivia is going to come. She's going to share with you how you can connect with our church. We want to know about it. This faith isn't a private deal. It's a public deal. And so we want you to go public with your faith so that we can equip you, so that we can prepare you for this ride that you've now committed to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then Olivia is going to share. Lord, we just come to you right now. And I thank you for the mission that you've given Thousand Hills Ranch Church. I thank you for those that are already a part of it. I praise you for them. Bless them. Use them. Give them the desires of their heart. Fulfill them. Give them joy. Give them peace. And Lord, for those that maybe aren't a part and that haven't joined in on the mission, I pray that you would get them involved, that you would prick their heart to let them know what part they need to play in the mission that you've called us to fulfill, and that they would commit to do that today. Lord, thank you for using us. Thank you for what you've done so far. And I pray that you would continue to bless and use Thousand Hills Ranch Church. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.